You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
Yeah, we're caught in a trap. Surrounded by assholes. Surrounded by assholes. Yeah.
I made a decision not to talk about that shit anymore.
Was that? Oh, you did? Well, welcome to the program.
Yeah.
Normally, I...
You know what I mean.
I know. Normally, let me just tell you, I know a lot of people that have expressed the same sentiment in terms of I can't take it anymore. I can't. I walk around irritated, and so I don't watch it, a lot of it anymore. So.
I had a wild hair up my ass yesterday, and then when we talked about it and stuff, I just thought, you know, this is enough. I just, you know, after Vietnam, I figured this country would fucking get a clue, but not even a chance or a desire to get it right. That's what pisses me off the most. Nobody wants to do anything. They just want to keep all of us under their thumb. Let's just fuck it. That's okay. I'm retired. I sold my businesses. I sold my building. I'm living on a fixed income, and I don't give a fuck about anything else. I got my friends, my wife, and that's all I need. Fuck, I'm 73. I ain't gonna make a difference. I didn't when I tried. That's for goddamn sure.
But
I still vote. I still vote every year.
Because you're an optimist, right? You know, maybe they'll do something. But it's just, you know, I was reading to add fuel to the fire. I was reading about this whole how the Senate does business and the whole issue of filibuster, of cloture, where you need 60 votes to go ahead and bring new legislation to the floor, which means you have to have cooperation from the other party. And then to do it, because most of the time there isn't a 60 vote majority in the Senate, and so
it used to be,
there wasn't 60 vote majority, you know, by in one party. They used to do it because, and that's where you know the term normal order.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm agreeing with.
Oh, okay, all right. I thought you were going to get me fired up here again. And that's what normal order is, right? It's legislation comes out of committee, you work on it there, and there it's molded into something that enough people can support to get it through the legislative process.
On both sides of the gate.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, I've forbidden the use of the term bipartisan because there is no such thing as bipartisan. I vote in my own self-interest. I vote in what gets me reelected. And so this whole notion of I'm going to do something for them, that ain't happening. I'll support something that I can support, and there is no bipartisan nonsense. But anyway, it was talking about the history of how we legislate. And now what we do in this whole reconciliation thing, reconciliation was invented in 1974 for blah, blah, I can't remember some reason. I should pull up the stuff I've read about it. And then it was modified with the Byrd Rule that says it can only be used a limited number of times, and it has to be revenue neutral, and it has to be this, and it has to be that. So if you try to write legislation under the Reconciliation Act, and the key part of that is that you only need 50 votes, right? 51 votes to move it forward.
51 votes.
Right? But that has now become how we pass or attempt to pass major legislation. That's how fucked up it is. And it started.
You're preaching the choir, Matt.
Right. And so both parties do it. That's just the way it is now. And it's so broke, and they know it's broke. But they can't get, so why don't you do away with it? And then why don't you do away with this whole filibuster, this archaic nonsense, this filibuster, this 60 vote that you need to do it? And the answer is, well, that forces compromise, it forces it to the middle. It's dysfunctional now in our system of government. Maybe there was a time that it was better, but now what you have is you have the polarization of our parties. You have no legislation, and the Heritage Foundation puts out a study that says U.S. military is now only marginally able to meet the demands of defending America's vital national interests. Right? Another, and then the other headline that went with it in the article is a significantly weaker America. Major study warns of the eroding U.S. military. Well, what has eroded the military? Sequestration. And our Congress, they can't pass a budget. Can't even pass a fucking budget. And so to me, somebody got to fix this. Okay? We need the adults. We need our parents to show up and say, okay, we'll fix this. And then you idiots can go back to doing what you're doing. Whew, okay, thanks. God, I was waiting for the babysitter to get here. This is awesome. And so it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And you watch it, and you're waiting for it to get better. And as Kim said, 73 years old. It hadn't gotten better.
Yeah. So. Not a fucking ounce.
All right. Now, you want to talk about happy?
I want to talk, we can talk food if we have questions to anybody, writes in, we'll do food, but
and we got a little new
we got a new
segment that we're going to introduce today, and that we're going to call that Kim the Bookie, and so Kim is not afraid to make a wager. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's a reasonable statement. Yes.
All right. So we're going to introduce Kim the Bookie. And at some point here, before he says goodbye in about 45 minutes, we'll go through his picks on big day in Major League Baseball. If you're a baseball fan, this is
hello, baby.
This is one of the best days.
National pastime.
And the Kim's Dodgers are going to take on the Diamondbacks. So that's going to happen. Later on today, the Yankees and Red Sox both ought to get their asses kicked again, which is not something I care to see. But Cleveland's really good, Houston really good, and so that's my story. So, but Kim the Bookie will do that. So a little bit of food, a little bit of sports before Kim takes off.
You're throwing me off the bus. I just got on, for Christ's sake.
What are you talking about? You mean I'm talking about you when you're done? The all right.
No. I'm just giving you some shit. That's all.
The all right. What else? There was one other thing that I wanted to mention before I got going too fast. Here's an email. Email. Holy shit, Mac. Are you off your meds this morning? What is going on this program? All right? Take the blowtorch and put it down, please. All right? Everybody's getting it today. The flag officers and general officers, Cam Newton, Michael Bennett, Congress. Don't get me today. Go ahead. No, you know,
Shannon,
it's just like
Sharp.
Yeah, Shannon. Yeah, Shannon Sharp's bullshit, right? At some, like, come on. I turned that on, and I've never seen that program because I think Skip Bayless is a jackass. And
I've never liked him.
Yeah, he just come on. So, but I turned it on because it was where the station ended last night when I shut the baseball game off, and I stood there and I listened and I thought, come on, man, Dan and Yogurt. Yeah, the real reason. But okay. The broader point would be, I would say, look, I don't know that they care about the black salute. They do know, however, that, okay, we signed him up, right, to be, you know, Cam Newton, happy guy like in the NFL commercial, where he did a really funny NFL commercial a few years ago, and he's got this great smile and he's a great young talent, and the commercial's with a little kid, and the little kid goofs him, and like, you know, the kid says something to him and he says something to the kid, and the kid looks at him and says, yeah, no, and it's hilarious. And so as Dan, and they're like, yeah, this is the guy we want. You know, he's one of the marquee players in the National Football League. He's got a great smile. You know, but again, if you want to be a social activist, it comes at a price. I'm sorry. It does. You're not going to, people might not agree with everything you do and the way you do it. But to say that the real reason is that, I think, is bullshit. Dannon cares much more how you treat women than what you do after a touchdown. And, oh, by the way, he stands for the national anthem, just for the record. He stands. But when you probably put the two of them together and you're sitting there at Dannon saying, do we want to go down this road? Is the juice worth the squeeze on this? Answer, maybe not. So, Cam, look, have at it, but you'll do it without our money, without, you know, being associated with our company. All the best of luck to you. And again, I said, Kim, Jim Brown, how many lumps has Jim Brown taken over the course of his life for being involved in social activism relative to the National Football League, things he could have done but didn't do because he was a pretty socially conscious athlete?
He was the best. And he never once backed down on anything. He had major game, and
major game.
And in my, you know, since I can squeeze a little football in here, the best running back in the history of football.
Ooh, and he quit early too. But when you see videotape of him, when you see film of Jim Brown, he looks like, why is that kid playing in the wrong league? Shouldn't we get him? That's the NFL. Like, oh. That's not the 90-pound league? That's not the 90-pound league in Cincinnati?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but
I don't.
You know, he'd get hit, and he'd get up real slow and walk back to the huddle. And then he'd get the ball again, and he'd pop it for 20 or more. And when he was just a Brutus. And when he scored a touchdown, he just dropped the ball and went back to the sidelines. He didn't change his emotion at all, ever. He didn't ever get mad. And I watched as many games of him as I could.
I think he got mad.
Of course he got mad.
He was more in the getting even business than he was in the getting mad business, though.
Yeah, boy, he was just fabulous. It was fucking great to watch him play.
He was. If you want to read funny stuff, read the stories about him playing lacrosse at Syracuse.
He was an All-American lacrosse player.
Okay, if nobody on the football field stopping Jim Brown, who on the lacrosse field is stopping him?
Nobody.
It's a bunch of little preppy white kids, right?
Well, yeah, my uncle, All-American.
In the late 1950s, Kim, it's a bunch of preppy, they don't lift weights, and here comes Hercules going down to the lacrosse field. Like, yo, what's that guy want? Oh, he wants to play. And so what does he do? He takes the ball and he cradles it, right, in his stick. And he just runs straight down the field, annihilating people as they try to come and get him. It would have been hilarious to watch. Right? And all these little preppy kids with their moms watching, like, Larry, don't go near him. Don't stay away from the big guy. Oh, my God.
When did he start his career in the NFL?
I don't know. I'll find out here one second. I was reading this thing about him playing lacrosse. Honestly, I was in tears imagining it, right? The little preppy, like non-weightlifting, you know, Ivy Leaguers on the East Coast because he plays at Syracuse. And like, you can imagine the discussion. When did those people start playing lacrosse? That isn't even right. He almost killed Junior. Oh, my God. It must have been hilarious. Hold on one second. We'll get Jim Brown's life up. But again, the life of a social activist, you know, and it comes as a cost. And so if you want to act shocked, perhaps more impressive was his success as a multi-sport athlete. In addition to his football accomplishments, he excelled in basketball, track, and especially lacrosse. As a sophomore, he was the second leading scorer for the basketball team at 15 points per game, earned a letter on the track team. In 1955, he finished in fifth place in the national championship, the NCAA national championships, in the decathlon. In his junior year, he averaged 11.3 points in basketball, was named second-team All-American in lacrosse. His senior year, he was named second-team All-American. Good one. In his senior year, he was named first-team All-American in lacrosse, 43 goals in 10 games, and ranked second scoring nationally. The Carrier Dome has an 800-square-foot tapestry depicting Brown in football and lacrosse uniforms with the word greatest player ever.
And what year was that he was in college?
Let's see.
In the early 50s.
As a sophomore at Syracuse University, 1954. So he would have gone in 53, and he would have graduated in 55, 56. He would have graduated in 1956.
My uncle, his senior year and Brown's freshman year, my uncle played lacrosse for Annapolis. And he played against Jimmy Brown. and I asked him, I guess I was about 16. I said, did you ever play against Jimmy Brown? He just smiled and said, yeah, what a beast. God. Yeah. My uncle was an All-American lacrosse player from Annapolis, so. Yeah, that was that's pretty cool.
Hold on.
Anyway, let's move along with a little baseball. Or do you want to do? Let's do baseball first, then we can slide.
Okay, hold on. I was counting. How many films do you think Jim Brown did in his life?
I'd say about 30.
43 films. He stopped playing football at the age of 29.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did all that damage in the NFL in 8 years.
It's absolutely amazing. Then he said, "The hell with this, I'm going to Hollywood." And so, anyway, he's just an amazing life. But again, the life of Jim Brown, right, is many lives. I mean, it's a great college athlete. It's a great NFL athlete for a brief career. And then started acting in 1964, made his last film in 2014. So an acting career that spans almost, 60 years? That's pretty amazing.
I think his last movie was Any Given Sunday with Al Pacino.
No. And Any Given Sunday was done in 1999. Since then, he's done On the Edge, She Hate Me, Sucker Free City, Animal, Sideliners, Dream City, and in 2014 he appeared as himself in Draft Day. With Kevin, I think Kevin Costner's in that, right?
Kevin Costner. That was a good movie.
Right.
I watched that a couple times.
Right.
He did a movie with Raquel Welch.
What was the name of it?
Jesus, I can't remember. It was early in his career. Because they got it on.
My favorite Jim Brown movie was the Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen,
When he gets killed, awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful in the Dirty Dozen.
I didn't. That really crushed me.
I thought for sure
he was going
to... He's going to make it.
Get out of there.
Yeah, that Charles Bronson, Lee Marvin, all these tough guys, Jim Brown, they heard all these people in the cellar, and they've got all these explosives and gasoline down there, whatever, and now they're going to blow them all up, and they pull the lids off these ducts that go down there. Brown's at the far end, right? He's got all these hand grenades, and he takes off running, right? And he's throwing hand grenades, and then all of a sudden you see the sniper scope, like, tracking him. And you're like, no.
Say it ain't so.
He goes down. I love that. I used to watch that movie every time it was on when I was a kid, The Dirty Dozen. And breaking news, Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl expected to plead guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. That's from the Associated Press, breaking news right now. In a story that obviously is not set well with those of us in the United States military, in particular, people who went out to look for him and were then either wounded or in some cases killed. Now, people say, oh, that didn't occur. But the guys that were out there say, oh, yeah, it did occur. So Bo Bergdahl, is in the news today. All right. I have a question about bacon for you. Mac, a long time ago, the gunner talked about having bacon on hand that he makes, that he'll fry up a bunch. I was considering doing that after eating bacon last Sunday because it just tastes so good. And what is the best way to preserve it? Is refrigerating it the best? Is it just keeping it on the counter at room temperature the best? I'm curious what the Almarine Radio head chef would say. Bacon, pretty good, yes?
Bacon is one of my major food groups. and possibly one of the worst things for me to eat.
That's but, so good.
But I don't give a shit. I mean, I sit down... And I only go to cafes that will give me 4 slices of bacon when I order a side of bacon. And everybody gives freaking 3 slices of bacon. You can't get a rush on 3 slices of bacon. You need a 4th slice to juice it up, baby. And it's got to be thick. Now, as far as preserving it.
Yeah, on-hand bacon.
If you're going, my recommendation is if you're going to, whatever you're going to eat that day, cook it. And cook it to, some people like it semi-crisp. I like my bacon to snap, but not to be burnt. And that comes from, the cooking process, which we'll get to in a minute, but, otherwise, I would undercook the bacon a little bit. You can put it in a Ziploc bag once it cools down. It'll still have some fat in there. And if it's going to be a week or so, then I would put it in the freezer and then thaw them out in the refrigerator the night before and then get your skillet out and finish them off. And then they'll crisp up and they'll be hot just like you cooked them, but they'll be halfway cooked. That's how I would hold on to them.
Okay.
But if you're gonna eat it the next day, you can just put it in the fridge.
No, I think what Mike was talking about the day he brought this up was he just has it on hand, and I would think to put in salads, to put in different, to put on sandwiches. You know, if you're making a turkey sandwich, you know, you can completely make it better if you just throw a couple slices of, half slices of bacon on it. Tastes, you know, makes the whole sandwich different. And bacon, one of those things, it doesn't taste like anything else. And so I'd never grown up having, I've never had bacon like just for that purpose. It was always made for something. And so hence somebody else with a question.
Okay. So if you want bacon, just cook it all at once the way you want it. Not a pound. It depends on how fast you eat the bacon.
Right.
But if you want bacon chunk for salads, then you cook them and then chop them up, and you can put them in a Tupperware container, and then when you're ready to use the bacon, heat it in the microwave for about 30 seconds, and so it gets a little heat to it, but you don't want to cook it, and then it brings the crispness back, and then you're in the front row. That's how I would do it. And if you're going to have maybe a turkey sandwich after Thanksgiving and you do bacon in the morning, that'll stay in the fridge for 5 days, 4 or 5 days. And you just fully cook it and just warm it up in the microwave and it'll come to life. But you don't want to make it soggy by cooking it too long.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
So there's an art to warming it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's warming up anything. It's a matter of time. You just want to heat it through. You don't want to cook.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not a big microwave food guy, because nuking it is not the same as heating it. And I mean, again, microwaves have come certainly a long way. But, you know, Kim explained to me a long time ago that when you reheat something, it allows for the juices all to come alive and kind of blend and all that. When you simply nuke it, it's not the same. It's not the same process. It's different. And it's certainly more convenient if you're in a hurry and things like that. But you do it at a price. So he explained to me why he never had a microwave in his restaurant.
Never. Never, never, never. From the first day they came out, and if your back's turned, they'll do shortcuts in the kitchen. So I just never had one in there, so they couldn't. They want to heat some up, you put it in the oven, or put it on the flat top, or in a skillet, and heat it up that way. And, you know, you heat it up slowly and bring it up to temp, and there you go.
And he was pretty butch about not having a microwave, and so I would purposely ask him, right? I would purposely ask him, hey man, could you microwave this for me? And like I would make sure that he would be in mid conversation, and I'd like tap him on the arm, and he'd be standing there, and I'd be sitting there, and he'd look over and goes, what? And I said, could you microwave this for me? And then because he was distracted, he would like. He'd not think first that I was joking, right? He'd turn, what did you just say? And he's like, yeah, what did you just say? Could you microwave it? I don't have a microwave. And then I would say, Sledster's across the alley, Doug. He'd look at me, and he'd say, don't go there with me, girlfriend.
Then I knew he was pulling my shorts. Oh, God.
All right.
And a lot of people would ask that. Well, why don't you have a microwave? And I got to be better at answering that question.
Yeah, well, you were not very delicate with me, so I just want you to know that I've always remembered that.
I wasn't.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got one more food question. We're going to do Kim the Bookie and do some sports picks here as we attempt to lighten the load here on Friday, but I kind of screwed things up starting, but I was not happy and Kim knows me. This whole don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining, that is not a new philosophy for me. Okay, just so everybody knows, those are words I live by. And if you ever want to get my attention, do that to me. And I don't care where I've ever been, but I don't care whether I've been child raising or I've been coaching, I've been in the Marine Corps or serving in public office. When you tell me something, right, and it makes me squint my eyes and say, what did you just say? And then a lot of people, especially in politics, they'll rely on the fact that, oh, well, he won't go there in public. Yeah, I didn't play that game. I'm like, oh, really? You want to do this in public? Okay. And I do the same thing on my radio show. Did you just say? And you, pretty interesting little discussions you have. But again, we'll take a break. More of the Allmarine Radio Head Chef on a Friday here on Allmarine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global SOC Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoffoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hey, where did we go?
8:15 on the West Coast. Mike McNamara with you, joined by the All Marine Radio head chef. And my hetero life partner, that's right, Kim Holmes. I've got a cooking question, if you're ready for that there, Swami.
Geez, is that what we're talking about today?
We talked about bacon a little bit.
Bring it on, baby.
I can't resist a discussion about bacon. Does the chef have a way that he likes to buy it? I've heard him talk about different cuts of meats and going to butcher shops and asking for very specific cuts. Has he ever done that with bacon? And for those of us that are huge fans of bacon, could he recommend such a thing? Custom bacon cuts? Can you get a bacon steak?
No. What you do is you, if you're a smoker, you can buy pork belly, which is bacon, actually, from the belly of the pig. That's where bacon comes from. And you can you can put it in the oven and cook it for a while, and or you can boil it and then fry it to crisp it up. So everything's cooked all the way through. And pork belly, if you ever get a chance to eat it in a restaurant or somewhere, absolutely try it. You'll flip out. But bacon, as far as purchasing bacon, there's a local butcher shop that I love going to for my bacon. They smoke their own, and you can get it cut any thickness you want. And I like it about, maybe at least an eighth of an inch to a little bit close to a quarter of an inch thick. And what I do is I have a cookie sheet, and I put a piece of parchment paper down, and then I put the bacon on the cookie sheet. There's two ways I'm going to tell you how to do this.
Okay.
You put the slices of bacon on the cookie sheet. You put it in your oven at about 350 degrees. And that way, it won't shrink as much as when you cook it in a skillet. And you don't want your bacon to start out with a strip of bacon and then you get this curly up piece of the bacon. Which is good, but
well, wait a minute. How does that happen? I mean, is there a way to measure you know, how much bacon will shrink? Because to me, when you buy better thick bacon, it doesn't shrink that much. But sometimes you look at it and you're like, what happened in that pan?
Okay. If you're going to cook the regular store-bought bacon that's not thick cut, some of the companies sell packaged bacon that's thick cut. But the key is not to throw it on a skillet and turn it on high and walk away. You take your bacon, you take each strip of bacon, you place it in the skillet when it's cold, and then you get as many in there as you can, and then you turn the heat on high until the bottom of the pan and gets hot, and then you turn it down to medium and you slow cook it. Now that'll keep the bacon from shriveling up completely. It'll still curl up on the ends. So a lot of in restaurants on flat top griddles that cook bacon, they'll put it on the order on the stove. They'll par cook it in the oven. Then they'll put it on the stove and put a steel weight that has a handle on it, and it keeps it flat, and it finishes cooking that way. But you don't have one of those. You don't want to bother with it. So my recommendation is to put it on parchment paper so it doesn't stick to the pan, and it's easier to clean that way, or you put the parchment paper down, and then you put, like, one of those cooling racks that you put cookies on when you take them out of the oven.
Yeah.
You put that on the parchment paper and put your bacon on there. And then your oven will, it'll cook underneath the bacon, and the fat will drip off. And then you'll have this crispy piece of deliciousness.
So don't so we're not frying bacon.
Well, I at the restaurant, because I had so much bacon, I cooked it on sheet in the oven. I do like 18 by 30 inch cookie sheet or pan with a small lip on it, and I'd put 3 of those pans in my oven with bacon on them. So I'd have like maybe 2 pounds of bacon in the oven because we go through a lot of bacon when we did cook it.
So if you were going to make it for yourself and taste was the sole criteria, would you bake it or would you fry it?
Well, if it's just for me, I'd fry it. But remember my instructions. Don't turn it on high and walk away. You turn it on medium heat. It started on high in a cold pan with the bacon already in there. And then once it starts to sizzle and heat up, you turn it down to medium. And then you cook it and flip it. And also, folks, when you're done with your bacon, and you put them on, if you put them on paper towels to drain the fat off, save your bacon fat. Because bacon fat is great to cook with.
What do you use bacon fat to cook for?
Oh, you can use it in cooking meats and things like that. If you're doing like collard greens, you put the bacon fat in a ham hock in the pan with the collard greens.
Okay.
And that cooks, collard greens take a couple hours or more on the stove.
Okay, so but any kind of vegetable, yes?
Yeah, I love my beans with a little bacon fat, and you can saute them up. Yeah, and put little...
Bon bon.
Like we were talking earlier, put little bits of bacon in with your green beans, and you're in the front row. And if you're really cool, you'll saute a little onion, and then put your beans in, and there you go.
You know what? You know, and that's the kind of stuff Mike's talking about doing. Because the comment I recall him making was, it's just everyday bacon. And I said, well, like, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, just the bacon you cook with all the time. And so being an Anglo, and my mom didn't do that. So so I grew up not doing it either. But, you know, the way you make it sound, just like, so I'm going to make some beans. I'm going to fry up some bacon. I'm going to saute a little onion. And without a whole lot of work, it's a delicious little meal, yes?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And I will tell on my mother. She would take, there were, let's see, six of us in our family. And she would take a pound of bacon. And she'd throw the whole goddamn thing in the frying skillet.
Right.
And then go about her business. And then when the bacon got, she would take a fork and separate the bacon. And, you know, I grew up eating little, squiggly pieces of curled up bacon. But she always cooked it properly, you know, but they were, by starting that way, they just all shrivel up. You know, you have to lay them out. And especially if you have, you know, butcher store smoked bacon, you know, you can get hickory smoked, applewood smoked bacon. You can get all kinds of smoked bacon. But yeah, you want to get it at least an eighth of an inch thick.
All right.
If not bigger.
Okay. All right. The, I got one more question for you here.
Mm-hmm.
Mac, does Kim have advice for gravy? I like gravy on just about everything. Love it on pork chops. Love it on mashed potatoes. There's a variety of different ways. Some people use flour. Some people use other thickeners. Some people use Wondra. What would his guidance be generally on an appropriate gravy thickening agent? Whoa. Gravy thickening agent.
Well, to thicken things real quick, you use Wondra. You have your whatever your, if it's a white gravy, how my recommendation is you saute onions, you throw equal parts of butter. And you reserve the flour, you throw onions
okay,
in the
skillet.
Okay,
hold on, hold on. He's asking about gravy thickeners. So flour, Wondra?
Yeah.
I don't think
flour,
he's asking about...
Wondra.
Do you have a preference for either one when you make gravy?
I prefer Wondra or cornstarch. And you have to mix that with a little water, the cornstarch. Or you can do tapioca flour. You mix that with a little water. But that's what my wife likes. But for me, it makes the gravy look like snot. I call it, oh, you got snot gravy again tonight, honey. And so I've pretty much broken her of it. But, you can do cornstarch is the one for thickening gravy. You put a little water so you have a liquid there.
Okay, well, hold on. So is your preference cornstarch or Wondra, or do you use both?
I use both. It just depends on what I'm doing.
Okay.
But probably if you've got a gravy for, say, Thanksgiving, okay, and you have the drippings in the pan, you add some chicken stock, you want to thicken that. You take a tablespoon or two tablespoons and or a half a cup and you mix it with water and then you stir it and keep because it'll separate, so you keep it stirred, and then you pour a little bit in, not all of it, a little bit in, and you get the gravy to the thickness you want. And, you know, if it's not enough, if it's not thick enough, you pour a little more cornstarch in, and that'll thicken it up. And then there you go. And then you let the gravy simmer for about 5 minutes so it cooks off the cornstarch. And then you're in the front row.
All right. All right. That's
my recommendation.
Okay. All right. I'm okay with that. Does are you ready to do your, are we ready to do Kim the Bookie?
Yeah, baby.
That was the bookie voice right there. That means we're going into the underworld, all right? Just so everybody gets a little bit of read on that. All right, here we go. Time to cue the music. Yeah, joining us now from Las Vegas, Nevada is Kim the Bookie. And we're going to talk a little bit of sports right now, give you some our lead pipe locks. I shouldn't say ours. We're going to give you Kim's lead pipe locks. So, let me get my paper out here so I can write this stuff down. How do you feel today, Swami? Are you feeling like are all your biorhythms in sync? Are you feeling good?
I'm one with the universe, my son.
You are? Are you one with the sports page? That's the most important thing.
I've got it glued to my glasses.
Okay. All right. So,
let's start with baseball.
Baseball. All right. So now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to pick series winners or just game winners?
What I'm going to pick today are all locks.
Your lead pipe locks? And now, are these game winners today or series winners today? Or series winners?
No. We'll just go game by game.
Okay, so we're going to go game by game. Okay, game one is Boston-Houston. Who are we picking?
Houston.
So
Houston.
All right. New York versus Cleveland.
I will have to go with Cleveland with their display last night.
Yeah, they were pretty strong. All right. And then we have the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks.
I will happily go with the Dodgers.
Okay.
That's my super lead pipe lock because I have endured 29 years of no World Series.
Okay, don't get emotional. Don't get emotional because that compromises the lead pipe lock, just so you know.
Okay. I think they're going to beat Arizona. And then I pick Washington over the Cubbies.
All right. Washington over the Cubs. Okay, so today we've got Houston, Cleveland, Washington, and the Dodgers. Those are your picks.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. We got that. I let me just tell you, every one of those series are going to be pretty good. The Houston and the Cleveland series, I mean, those teams are dominant. The best series, I think, to watch is going to be the Cubs and Nationals. Those are two really good teams, and they're going at it in the first round, so that'll be good to watch. Okay, all right, so what are we picking next, college football?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Now, let me see here. The number one team is Alabama.
Who's Alabama? Who's Alabama playing?
Texas A&M.
Tell me you're going to pick Texas A&M.
No, I'm not. I'm going to pick Alabama against every fiber in my body.
They're pretty good though. You can't.
They're 5-0. Well, Texas A&M is 4-1. So I think. It'll be a good game for a half.
And
then Alabama with their depth will cool away.
They're about to be 4-2. Okay, so just so everybody knows. All right. So how many How many lead pipe locks are you going to give us?
Well, I'm going to go through the whole top 10 of college football.
All right.
And then there are a couple I want to pick. I'll pick Navy over Air Force. That they're not in the top 10, but I always pick Navy. Air Force is one of three. They beat Navy last year, but Navy's gonna, they've got a good team this year for, the quality of football they play. I think, I'd take Navy. Okay. Number two is Clemson.
Yeah.
And they play fourth. And, a lead pipe lock.
Are you kidding me? It's a joke. So Wake Forest and Clemson. That's not even a pick. All right. Keep going. Who's next?
We've got, Oklahoma and Iowa State. It's Oklahoma for sure.
Right. Next.
We have Penn State at Northwestern. They've turned their program around, Penn State. They're 5-0. I picked Penn State.
All right. Now you're just picking favorites. You're not picking against the spread though, right?
No.
All right. You're just picking favorites. All right. So next week we got to pick. Since we're betting, we got to pick with the spread, man.
Okay.
That means you got to do a little bit more research, okay? But
no,
I just sprang it on him last night, so. Would the spread affect any of the previous picks that you've made?
Well, no. Alabama's 23.
Yeah. Alabama covered that. What's Clemson over Wake Forest?
19.62.
Yeah. Clemson will cover that easily. Oklahoma and Iowa?
25.64.
All right. Penn State and Northwestern
14-point favorite.
Yeah, I don't see anything that catches my attention there in terms of being a better. Okay, after Penn State, who do you got?
We've got California we'll play Washington.
Wait. Okay, University of Washington.
They're 20-point favorite.
The Huskies are 20-point favorites?
Yeah. And Wisconsin is a 13-point favorite over Nebraska. I'm trying to find something here where the spread is even freaking close.
I would say, of all the ones that I've seen, I would say my upset pick, Cal over University of Washington.
Okay. California over the University of Washington.
California and
21-point favorite.
Yeah. Cal and 21. That to me is the most interesting of all the bets I've seen so far. Okay. What else? Who are you picking?
Here's what I'd say.
Hold on. So, Washington and Cal, who are you picking?
I'm going to pick, you know what? I'll take the Huskies. I just think they're too strong.
You're not much of a picker. You're like going everything with Vegas, man.
Just a minute. I will say Nebraska will upset, Wisconsin.
Whoa.
Nebraska, and that's a 13.5-point pick by Wisconsin.
Nebraska sucks, though.
They're going to beat the spread. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm saying they're going to beat the spread.
Okay, who's next?
All right. I'm going to say Michigan will be upset by Michigan State.
Ooh.
And six-point favorite. Michigan's a 6-point favorite.
All right, so you get Michigan State in six.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with Michigan State when they played Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. So, all right. So you're going to go with the big upset of Michigan State over Michigan. Okay. What's next?
Let me see. Yeah, I can't do that. Oh.
Give me one more.
Here we go. LSU at number 20, Florida. Florida by 2.5.
Ooh, who you picking?
I'll pick LSU for the upset.
All right.
I'm picking them to win. I'm picking LSU to win.
To win straight up.
Straight up.
Ooh, that's big time there. Okay, all right, so here's what we got. We've got today, if you're wagering baseball, here's what the Swami says. Houston, Cleveland, Washington, and L.A. are going to win. All right, those games straight up, no point spread. All right, college football. All right, and this is most of the top 20 college football. Alabama covers, Clemson covers, Oklahoma covers, Penn State covers. Kim has Washington covering. I don't believe they will. I believe Cal will cover that. Kim has Nebraska over Wisconsin, which means he had a Bloody Mary this morning before he went on. He also believes that Michigan State will beat Michigan. That's a distinct possibility. And his lead pipe lock in an upset, LSU will straight up beat Florida, which means they will certainly cover the point spread. So it's all written down now, my friend. Next week, you'll either be apologizing or basking in the glory of a true Swami. On the confidence scale, where do you put your confidence relative to these picks?
Oh, 75%.
75, okay. 75% confidence factor. Okay, and the one more game is?
I'm looking it up here. It's Florida State.
Florida's playing LSU.
No. Wait a minute. Where did I see that? Sorry, buddy. Oh, Miami at Florida State.
Miami. We hate them.
Yes, we do.
That's been a big game, though, in the past. When both those teams were good, there was a lot of hate in that game, and there was a lot of craziness in that game. All right, so what's the point spread? What are you doing, man? Are you like crawling through a tunnel while you're doing this?
Yeah, I am. I'm in the shit hole. Here we are. They're a three-point favorite.
Who is?
Miami.
And who are you taking?
And so I will pick Florida State.
All right.
I will pick Florida State to upset Miami.
Upset. Okay. Florida State, Miami. Wow. Miami is a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Florida State, you know, started the year, ranked number 2 in the country or something like that? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, their record's 1-2. Miami is 3-0.
Yeah, they lost their quarterback, Florida State did, and so life not the same. All right. First of all, Swami, I appreciate your time this morning. And
it's not Swami. It's the big salami.
Write that down.
I'm changing my name. Write that down.
The big.
When it comes to betting, I'm the big salami.
The big salami. All right, big salami. You have a good day. I will talk to you later.
Have a great one. I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you have it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. the big I want to thank the big salami, not the swami. The big salami. Anyway, let's check some news headlines as we head towards the top of the hour. In a story that I don't rightly understand, hurricane efforts will delay Afghanistan deployments. I saw this headline, and so Lieutenant General Kenneth McKenzie, Joint Staff Director, there are going to be delays in deployments, McKenzie told reporters at a televised Pentagon press briefing yesterday. I think the delays will be relatively minor. Efforts to relieve suffering and return the area to normal have absorbed a lot of U.S. military assets and relative to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is a difficult technical problem, McKenzie explained to reporters. To get equipment and supplies requires a significant amount of commercial, naval, and military transport capability. The storm that slammed Puerto Rico was pretty significant, but assisting fellow U.S. citizens of Puerto Rico has been made a high priority by the Pentagon. The department has been very aggressive in supporting FEMA, which is good. What I don't understand is which units can't deploy. Why were they chosen to go to Puerto Rico if there were other units that can execute a peacetime mission? Why is the next unit that's going to deploy used for that? Now, if the question is military transport, then that's a different issue. There's a finite supply of that. But again, I would say, look, we're talking about real-world military deployments. That takes a backseat to civilian relief. I don't know. Maybe it should. That's been the decision of the Trump administration. So it says, delivering all these relief efforts uses up a lot of military transport capabilities that will inevitably slow deployments of troops. So I guess there you have it. I don't know. To me, there ought to be a way to balance that stuff out. Iraq has claimed victory in ISIS's last urban stronghold in the northern city of Hawija. So that done. Next story is USA Today has a story about the untold assassination of Kim Jong-nam's assassination by North Korea, using the nerve agent VX. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. I saw a little bit of video of that. It is befitting with everything we know about North Korea. But to watch it on videotape is disgusting. The Washington Post reporting today that President Trump plans to declare the Iran nuclear deal not in the nation's interest. Now, the Secretary of Defense came out on Wednesday and said that he thought it was in the nation's interest. So it'll be interesting to see the rationale the president uses and why he's saying what he's saying. The next story, I think, and we've been watching with interest things going on in Kurdland in northern Iraq. Turkey has announced that it will close the Iraq border soon, along with their airspace. So if Iraq closes their airspace, if Iran closes their airspace, there is essentially no way in, no way out of Kurdistan. How long can they exist like that is the question. They will be essentially blockaded as a landlocked nation. So we will see. Elsewhere in Africa. Well, there's one more story about that. Iran, Turkey, and Iraq have all pledged to act jointly relative to Kurdistan. So we will see how the United States handles this. Will they be yet another ally that is thrown in with the United States only to have us be unable to assist them as they go down a separate path? And maybe we've already told them, hey, look, in this region, our power is limited. our power is limited. The problem with the Kurds is that they can fight. That's the problem. Right? And so I think that what you saw in Spain relative to their separation, their vote of their vote for independence is something that Iraq would have liked to have done, but they know that if they go up there, they're gonna get their nose bloodied. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and how the United States, you know, dances through that one. A couple of articles about the Army Green Berets that were killed in Niger yesterday. They had air support available, and they were caught in an ambush. And also, French and Nigerian forces were conducting operations. Special forces operations were conducting operations near the border with Mali on Thursday, a day after an attack killed 3 U.S. Army special forces. Now, I would tell you, in my experience, when this stuff happens, it's an inside job. Somebody in the patrol they went on set them up, and that's how that happened. It wasn't just the good field craft and quality work done by whoever did this. It was, when you see things like this happen, it was somebody on the inside gave up the information that led to this event. Again, I would recommend to you the Heritage Study on a significantly weaker America, and it warns about the eroding U.S. military. And I was talking to a friend last night. He said, you know, airplanes, military hardware is not meant to last 40 years. We're not replacing it. And we need to invest in our military, for God's sakes, given the way the world is. And his point is, the world has never been more unstable than it is right now. So maybe we ought to, but that would take a functioning Congress, which we don't have. A couple other pretty interesting little article in the Washington Examiner entitled Tillerson Mattis Nunchin forged suicide pact in the event Trump wants one of them gone. And the article, the headline is pretty indicative of the article. In another leak, and that's who they cite in this, a U.S. official told BuzzFeed that Tillerson would likely remain in the administration because of his agreement with Nunchin and Mattis. Tillerson sought to quiet any rumors about his impending resignation Wednesday, something about leaving his post, something he says he's never considered. So if those kind of guys leave the administration, then you are left with Donald Trump. And what pretty much, because I can tell you this, if those kind of guys leave the administration, you will see people like John Kelly. He will exit because this thing is trending in the wrong direction. So we have a president who surrounded himself with some strong guys. And, for instance, one of the things that Rex Tillerson's former Eagle Scout, I told you, right? He's former national president of the Boy Scouts from 2010 to 2012. Right? That means, like, his whole life he's probably spent doing good things for people. And then the president goes there and gives a political speech, and supposedly Tillerson was upset about it. You know, so, and again, I think the president knows you're not going to hire these kind of guys and then treat them like you treat, you know, Steve Bannon. They don't need you or your job. They'd like to participate, but if you don't make that possible, if you don't allow them some space to stand on, they are probably not going to be with you in the long term, which is not in the best interest of the nation. So the president needs to get his shit together. Yeah, I know what everybody's thinking. Good luck on that deal. Secretary of Defense has warned the DOD in an article in Military Times about memo leaks. Issued a warning on Thursday to all military and DOD civilian personnel against information leaks and directed personnel to report suspected leaks, and then issued some more guidance. All right, and then, let's see, the McCain has left Singapore, where it's been since its accident, en route to Japan, where it will be repaired. And then in the Marine Corps, the CO says the senior leadership of the 25th Marine Regiment has been relieved. And the regimental commander, Morgan Mann, Sergeant Major James Boutin, B-O-U-T-I-N, who's the regimental inspector instructor, Chief Warrant Officer Robert Hoy, personnel officer, all relieved Wednesday, by Lieutenant General Rex McMillan. McMillan said he lost confidence in the Marines' ability to command, who declined to elaborate. So, all of them have valor awards from Iraq. And interesting. There's another story, Marine style, that has to deal with Marines recovering from the AAV event where the AAV hit a gas main, and that friction ignited the gas coming out of the pipe, which evidently, from what we know, turned into a blowtorch. There's an article about a Marine from Gillette, Wyoming, who was critically injured during a training exercise. At Camp Pendleton, has undergone skin grafts, has lost 30 pounds, was on a ventilator to treat scorched lungs, but is determined to return to active duty, to full duty, once he recovers from his wounds. The Marine's name is Tegan Schmidt. He's up and walking and is now off the ventilator. He's one of 14 Marines and a sailor that were critically injured after their AAV caught fire during, the AAV didn't catch fire, the AAV obviously hit a gas line, yada, yada, yada. So all the best of luck to him. He remains at the Burn Center of the University of California, San Diego, in their Hillcrest Hospital. And on Sunday, he was surprised by his entire platoon and was promoted to Lance Corporal. How about that? Cool stuff. In the hospital, attention to orders. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Anyway, all the best of luck to those Marines. Burn injuries are tough. But tell you what, the Marine Corps has got a great support system, the Wounded Warrior Program, and all that for guys that have extended stays. And then hopefully he can get back and be with his platoon and continue his Marine Corps career. So God bless him. We'll take a break. Mike Musselman standing by. We're going to get to hear more about what it's like to see color after being colorblind your whole life. More of a, which is really cool. If you missed him yesterday, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, a Friday edition right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.